Well, hello. It's good to be back here again at this church, and it's been a long time that we haven't been back. And I might need an interpreter tonight. No, I'm just joking. I tried the best that I can to speak well, and if I don't, then I'll talk to you back at my table later on. But I just thank the Lord. I just want to give you an additional thing about the video before I go on tonight. Of course, we started the church there back in 2017. And we are so blessed with a hotel room that we were able to rent it for 3 or almost a month or 2 because the place was getting crowded. So we decided to move to our house. We had a small garage there, and we extended it with some awning there to be able to accommodate some people that would like to come. And the Lord opened up a door to have us go to this place, a place where my children did go to school. It's an international school, and they let us use the school for 3 months. And the Lord moved us again. We call that ourselves NPA, no permanent address. So we keep moving around, and the Lord moved us to this place that we temporarily built a church that doesn't have a doors, and doesn't have any windows. So when you have a church service, you hear the rooster saying amen, and dogs that will be in, you know, everywhere that will be a part of the service as well. But I thank God for all your prayers that we were able to started church there at Puerto Princesa. My wife mentioned this to you earlier. We never been to this place before, but this is where God took us, and the Lord is using us there mightily. Not because of us, it's because of Him. And thank you so much for this church that's been faithfully. When I say faithfully, I'm not taking that so lightly. When I say faithfully, you've been with us through the smooth times and the rough time and the worst time. And I thank the Lord for this church. And let's open our Bible to Jonah chapter number 1. If you have your Bible, I'll ask you to stand. Jonah chapter number 1 this evening. And we will only read the first 3 verses just for the sake of time. But you can't preach Jonah without mentioning the 3 chapters. Of course, the 4th chapter will be a different sermon by itself. But let us go ahead and just read those 3 verses here tonight, and we will pray. Jonah chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, but went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, this evening. Even last night, oh God, thank you so much for Brother Shives, who had opened our missions conference with just a really good preaching, Lord. And I thank you so much that was the preaching that this church need, that I need, that truly, oh God, that we must examine our hearts, how we serve you. And thank you so much, Lord, for this book that not only going to be dealing with Jonah, but it's going to be dealing with me and with us, Lord, tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us through your word. And I pray that you help me as your servant, Lord, to calm my nerves and to speak clearly, that your people could understand what thus saith the Lord this evening. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but if you are very busy in your life, you know, being a mom or dad or at work, so busy, taking care of the kids, or just doing all of the work in life, I think that you need to go somewhere. Perhaps you want to go to escape the life that you have and just live and go to a place where you could say, I just want to do an escape day today or escape week today. And there is a survey that was taken here when this year started. It says there are best places to run away to start 2021. Well, number one here that was on the list was a list that all of us probably knew. We probably know this. Number one will be Hawaii. Anybody been to Hawaii before? This is for the travel for newbie. Hawaii has everything you need for a perfect vacation. Of course, it is surfing paradise with stunning beaches and big, beautiful waves. Did you hear the waves tonight? Amen. By the way, Palawan is what they call the Hawaii of the Philippines. Amen. If you are cold there, I'll take you there, and you will enjoy it there. Amen. And it's a surfing paradise. But if you're not feeling like hanging out on the beach, there are plenty of volcanoes. Anybody like volcanoes here? Hot springs and 120 degrees outside. And ancient places you see, you can go snorkeling with manta rays on the Kuna Coast or take a hike up along the Maui most gorgeous trails. For a homebody, if you don't want to go so far away from home, you could go to Quebec, Canada. Amen. If you want to run away, but not too far away, but look no farther than the province of Quebec. Not only is this the destination still in Canada, it says here, with no need to switch over cell phone, that's a blessing, you don't have to switch over cell phone, or a health insurance, so if you died, oh no, if you got hurt there, you're still good to go, amen. It's also a very affordable place to live. Of the 20 cheapest cities to live in Canada, several of them are in the province of Quebec. If you are a thrill seeker, you could go to New Zealand, amen. I have a friend here been to New Zealand for 4 years, and he said he loved it there. And if you want to go a little farther afield than Canada and crave some adventure, New Zealand may be right for you. Not only it is one of the best place to live and work abroad, it's also often referred to as the Adventure Island. It says here, from skydiving and white water rafting to bungee jumping. Anybody had bungee jumping before? I never done that before, but it's pretty crazy. And canyon swinging, there are no shortage of thrills. This is where you need health insurance, amen. This is where you need health insurance, maybe a life insurance perhaps. If you like to read, you could go to California. It says, if you consider yourself a bookworm, you shall head straight to the West, the best West, it says. Do you agree with that? The best West Coast, particularly San Francisco, which was once home to many a famous writers of the 1950s, and you could visit there and all. I've been to San Francisco before. It is a beautiful place, isn't it? But, you know, you may wonder why these people talk to themselves sometimes without even nobody's talking with them. There's something wrong with that. If you are an environmentalist, you could go to British Columbia, Canada. They call themselves the tree huggers. If you're looking for endless nature and keen to be green, British Columbia may be the spot for you. I like plants. I like all of that. But, man, this place, they said it stays green all year long. Then you could go to Greece. You've been to the Greece. And then for the foodie, if you like to eat, you could go to Italy. If getting to eat fast all day long sounds like a dream, try running away to Italy. From amazing art in Florence to classic hotspot like the Trevi Fountain in Rome, Italy has something for every person who is into history, culture, and amazing wine. Of course, we don't do that. Be sure to hit lesser-known spot like Isola Bella and gorgeous island site. So on and so forth. But there's a man that went somewhere too, didn't he? He went to run away to a place called Tarshish. He wanted to escape, did he not? And I was trying to see more information about this place Tarshish. It says that it is so far away that Jonah was trying to escape from God. And in fact, the word Tarshish means contemplation and relaxation. But in the mind of Jonah, he's thinking about, well, I'm going to contemplate or to relax. But the Bible is clear that he was not going to contemplate and relax to Tarshish. Amen. He was going to run away or to flee from the presence of the Lord. The title of the message tonight, if I would, is Stop Running Away or Quit Running Away. Verse 1, it tells us here, now the word of God came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Let me just pause right there and then thank the Lord for the word of God. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for at his time, the audible word of God, and we thank for the written revelation of God tonight. And I just thank the Lord for the availability of the word of God in our hands, and we thank the Lord for that. But the Bible tells us, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now when the Lord speaks to you, you better listen. When the Lord speaks to you, just like last night, when the Lord spoke to you, you better do something about that. Amen? And the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. There's two things that God wants Jonah to do. First of all, he wants to go to Nineveh. And number two, he's going to go there to preach against the city, or to preach repentance and the judgment of God. The Bible says here that God had asked or commanded Jonah to arise. And of course, we see verse number 3 here, that Jonah did rose up. Amen? Well, he obeyed the first part, but he disobeyed the second part. Amen? But Jonah rose up and flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, tonight, you probably know the story. You probably say, well, I know the story, Jonah and the great fish. But actually, Jonah, it's not about Jonah and the great fish. It is truly about Jonah and the great God. And God is dealing with Jonah. When God told him to do what he wants to do, then Jonah just reluctant of going to where God wants him to do. Well, there's a reason probably in Jonah's heart, in Jonah's mind, why he does not want to go to Nineveh. Well, in Jonah's time, Nineveh was one of the Assyrian empire that was prominent at his time, and if you look at that, Israel and Assyria was not a friend. They weren't a friend, and Assyria is not a Hebrew nation. In fact, it is a Gentile nation. It's a pagan nation, and Jonah was reluctant to go there, because he's just waiting for God to judge that place because of what they had done to them. But God has something different in his mind. And I like this. Because when God saw the wickedness of these people, he said, I need to do something about these people. Amen? When God saw the wickedness of the world, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. Amen? When he saw the wickedness of all the people of this world, he did something about it. Amen? And I'm so glad that he did something about it. Amen? I'm so glad that he did something about it, that I was affected by it. Amen? I remember growing up in the Philippines, and a Sunday school teacher came to visit us. Of course, I was raised in a Catholic home, and they have a theme. I don't know if you're raised in a Catholic home. They have a theme in your home. You're born a Catholic. You what? Die a Catholic. That's the theme at our house. Growing up, and when a teacher come, and a Sunday school teacher from a Baptist church. Now, Baptist church, if you haven't heard Baptist church in a place, or if it's new to you, it is an occult. You don't believe them because they're teaching a different doctrine. They're teaching a different Bible, or maybe perhaps they're teaching a Bible that's the same to the Catholic, but it's not the same as the Catholic church. But I thank God for our Sunday school named Miss Lisa. Amen. She was the one that came to our house and asked my grandma, because she was the one that was there, and she's very strict about who are going to be teaching us the Bible. And this is what she said. Well, we have candies. We'll feed them. We'll feed them snacks. And they said, okay, if my grandkids will not be hungry while you're teaching, then they're good to go. So I'm so thankful for snacks and candies. Amen. Bus drivers and bus workers. And at that time, I'm so glad that Miss Lisa did not compromise on what she believed about the Bible. She preached. No, she taught. She taught about the Bible. I'm so thankful that God touched me for the first time. I did not get saved until I went to Bible college, but I thank the Lord for the seed that was planted there. The Bible says here, Jonah flee from the presence of the Lord because of the situation that he wants to happen. Now, if you go to chapter number 4, he wants that place to be judged. He wants God to do something about what they did in the past. But God had something different in his mind. The Bible tells us here, verse number 3, but Jonah rose up and flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me just say this statement really quick. It is senseless to run from the presence of the Lord. Because how can you run away from a good and a faithful God? Let me just say that one more time. It is senseless to run from the presence of God, because how can you run away from a good and a faithful God? But Jonah did. The Bible says here that he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid. By the way, when you are running from the presence of God, you're also running from the Word of God. Amen. Right. That's synonymous. Now, when you're running from God, then you would not want to hear from God. Right. You would just close your ears and whatever the Lord said, then I don't want to care what would he would have to say. The Bible tells us that he went down to Joppa. By the way, when you are running away from God, it's going to go downhill from there. There's no way that you're going to go up when you're running away from God. I think that every one of us know personally in our life that when we disobey the Lord, we're not going up. We're going down, amen? So the Bible says that he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. A Bible teacher said Tarshish is about 2,000 miles from where he was at. That was on the other side of the world. Somebody said that Tarshish might have been in Spain. That's a long ways. He wanted to run so far away from God. By the way, you cannot run from God. He is an omnipresent God. Amen. He's a powerful God. The Bible said that he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. When I say it went downhill from there, and we could say that it did go down there from there. Amen. Verse number 4, the Lord prepared or sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was to be broken. Let me remind us here tonight that when we are running away from God, we're not only causing ourselves harm, we're causing others harm. Well, it's really, really clear from the Word of God that the mariners there were afraid and they cried everyone unto their gods. They start to pray. Amen? They start to pray to their gods. I imagine how Elijah came back to proclaim the reign there in Israel. And before he did that, he had to do the battle between him and the Baal's priest. Prophets there, and all of them prayed to their God. They slashed their selves just to show Baal their devotion, and Baal didn't do anything. By the way, the God that they serve are dead God. Amen. Now, Isaiah said that their eyes that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear, arms that cannot touch, and feet that cannot walk. I believe that the God that we serve tonight is a living God. Amen. And I thank God for that. And when you go to a Catholic nation, you could preach that. Amen. But because Satan has blinded their eyes and they want them to work in darkness, people still won't believe that. And one time I was at a lady's house, and I was with Georgie, I think. It was Georgie. And I was sharing the gospel to this lady, and this lady got saved. And at her house, there's a bunch of idols there. There's Mary and Paul and Jake. There's a lot of stuff there at her house. And my daughter started to ask questions. She said, what are those, Dad? I said, well, those are idols. Do they pray to the idol? I said, yeah. But listen, the idol that they pray is a dead god. But we praise and worship a living God. Amen. That has eyes that can see. Aren't you glad that the God that we serve has eyes that can see us? Amen. And ears and so on and so forth. The Bible says here that they cried to their God there. And of course, they did not get any help at all. And here we are, the shipmaster, verse number 6. The shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? He's sleeping. I woke somebody up. If you're a servant of God, you shouldn't be sleeping around, amen? I mean, he's the captain of this ship, and the tempest and the storm is raging, and they're scared, and they're crying, and they found Jonah there. He says, this is really incredible to me. Verse number 6, he says, O sleeper, arise, call upon thy God. Now listen to me. If you are running away from God, you're not only running away from his word, or you're not even listening to his word. Let me tell you this: you are not going to pray. Your prayer life is not good. No, they asked him. The Bible says here, call upon thy God. The word called him ask or pray to thy God. If so, that God will think upon us that we perish not. So it didn't work to their idol. So they went to Jonah and they said, "Hey, wake up." But did Jonah pray? He didn't. When you are running away from God, you're not going to open your Bible. You're not going to, you might be sitting in a church, but you wouldn't want to hear what the preacher has to say. When you go home, you don't even want to pray. I was talking to a young man at our church, and I was really concerned about his growth, and I was just helping him, doing his devotion and all that. I said, how come you don't want to do what's right? And he says, Pastor, when I decide to grow, then I grow. When I decide to pray, then I pray. Well, I said, well, I can't help you with that. The Bible tells us here that when they said, verse number 7, and they said, every one of this to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know who's caused this evil upon us. So they cast lots, and Lot fell unto Jonah. Let me just say this. Not only that, he's causing a dilemma. He's causing this life-threatening thing going on here. It's so sad to see that Jonah is the one that's causing this trouble. And the Bible tells us here that verse number 8, that they found out who Jonah was. And they found out why these things are happening in Jonah. Verse number 10, it says, the men were exceedingly afraid when they found out why Jonah is running away from God. It says that they were afraid. Verse number 11, then said unto them, what shall we do unto thee? What are we going to do to you? But the sea may be calm unto us, for the sea wrought and was tempted. So to make this long story short, we see a man of God trying away. He was trying to run away from the presence of God, causing a lot of trouble. And I think on this point of this conversation, Jonah realized something. Verse number 9. And he said unto, I am a Hebrew. He realized that he is a Hebrew. You know, being a Hebrew is a big deal. They are called people by God. They're special people, amen? I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. He realized that the one is causing here It's the God that I fear, the one that made the heaven and the earth, which had made the sea and the dry land. He said, I realize that what is happening here is God is causing this because, you know, he told them that he was fleeing away from God. He was running away from God. And the Bible tells us in verse number 12 to verse number 16, we understand that they helped to throw Jonah into the water so that the sea will stop having this tempestuous thing going on there. The Bible tells us in verse number 14, wherefore they cry unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon an innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging, and the man feared the Lord exceedingly. There's something happened there. When Jonah testified to them about his God and how powerful his God is, then there's something that affected the heart and the mind of these mariners. The Bible said in verse number 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they made a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. We see a very tragic way result when someone like Jonah run away from the presence of God. Now we could say, like, well, that's really bad. This is a bad news at all. But I thank the Bible, because it's not all about bad news in the Bible. Amen. There's always a chance. By the way, the book of Jonah is a book of all chances. Amen. A chance one, a chance two, a chance three, a chance four, a chance forever. Amen. I thank the Lord for his long suffering. Amen. I thank the Lord for his mercy that endures forever. Amen. And we see this, that the Lord is not finished with Jonah yet. And I think that when Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and more always abounding in the work of the Lord. It says, for as much as ye know that ye labor is not in vain of the Lord. What Paul is saying here is that, yes, while you are breathing and alive, God is not done with you yet. That's why we need to be steadfast. That's why we need to be unmoved. That's why we need to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Because we know, in the end of the day, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Jonah, and God is not done with Jonah yet. And I like this. Because God prepared a fish. A big fish. We call it ballena. If you want to learn Tagalog tonight, you can say ballena. But don't call anybody ballena. You know, hi, sister, you're... No, I don't say that. No, ballena. Ballena is a great whale or great fish in Tagalog. Ballena. And isn't it God amazing that he prepared this great fish to teach Jonah a lesson? Amen. All of us here need to be taught a lesson. Amen. When we're trying to run away from God, it's like, oh, you're not going to run away. I'm not done with you yet. Amen. And he prepared this great fish, the Bible says, and he swallowed up Jonah. And when the Bible says swallow, it means swallow. It swallowed Jonah. It's in the belly. When you ate today, all the things you swallowed was in your belly. And it's going to start doing something in your belly, right? We call it the digestive system and all the gastric juice and all that. If you have a hard time digesting food, you better take your medicine right now so it would digest it while you're listening to the message. The Bible says that when we see chapter number 2, of course, this is a time when Jonah realized something that is very important. Do you know sometimes we learn oftentimes we learn in a hard way. I know not of you learn in a hard way. I did. Now, being in the field, you learn a lot. Being a missionary, somebody asked me, have you pastored a church before? No, it's my first time. Oh, so you're a young pastor. I was like, well, yeah, young pastor. I was accused of stealing members. I didn't steal anybody because I don't own anybody. I don't own nobody. So you stole a member. I didn't steal your member because I don't have a member. You know, they spread out the news, all the Baptist group there, that I was a thief. So I said, well, they could believe what they could believe, but I know the truth, that I didn't steal anybody. And, you know, you hear a lot of things about not good report about the people around you, and you just, I mean, you know, on that part. And, of course, you know, we it's like a coach, it's like a referee. They sometimes call something that is not really, you know, you make mistake. And I thank the Lord for all the mistake that he allowed me to see, and he allowed me to realize that, yeah, I need to go back and repent. The word repent here is to change mind. Jonah actually realized something here in his prayer. And, you know, remember, he was not praying there. He was asleep. And he realized that he needs to pray there in the belly of the well, and in the belly of this great fish. And the Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of this fish belly. And the rest there you could read is really amazing. He was actually quoting from the book of Psalms, all the things that has been said here. And you realize that. What I like about this in verse number 9, the Bible says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. You know, it's time for us to thank God when we're going through a hard time inside the belly of the fish. It says, I thanksgiving and I will pay that. I say, I'm going to do what you want me to do. This is when God is seeing Jonah's heart changing and committing himself back again to him. And the Bible says, salvation is of the Lord. And when the Lord see that, when the Lord saw that, of course, we understand that he has to stay there 3 days and three nights. It is a prophecy about what's going to do, what's going to happen in Matthew chapter number 14 and number 12 about our Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Lord saw that, the Bible says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and then vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want you to get this. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. We understand that when you're vomited out from a belly of the fish, it smells good, doesn't it? You know, you're all bleached out, and the Bible says that Jonah had his seaweed on his head. Anybody had seaweed salad before? Mr. Fina had. I had seaweed salad. It's pretty good. No? But we see here that God is not done with Jonah yet. And verse number 3 tells us that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad that when God spoke to you the first time and you didn't get it, he said, I'm going to talk to you again the second time. If you didn't hear the message last night, let me talk to you again tonight. Amen? And the Bible says, arise, go unto Nineveh. By the way, the commission, the great commission that we have never changes. Amen. It was true in Jonah's time, and it's also true in Jesus' time, and it's also true in our time. Amen. When it says, arise and go, the word go is still in the Bible. Amen. And that's one of the favorite two-letter words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. By the way, the message never changed. It's still the same. Don't change the message. Amen. When the Bible says we need to preach the gospel is still the same. That Jesus died for all our sin. That Jesus was buried. And Jesus has rose again in the third day. Still the same. No, God didn't say, well, let me change the message so that the people could just, you know, be attracted by the flowery words that you're going to say. No! The Bible says that you go and preach whatever I ask you to preach. Amen. And of course, understand that this was the shortest message here in the Bible. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And they absorbed that message. And the Bible says that the people believed God. By the way, when we got our heart right and repent to the Lord and we went back to where God wants us to be, let me tell you this, we're going to cause revival. It did. He caused revival. That short message caused a revival in the great empire at his time, Nineveh. The people believe God. I remember a message in the Bible when Saul was so busy about destroying the church of God and persecuting the church of God, and the saints in Jerusalem were scattered all abroad, and we find a Philip going to Samaria. Amen. And the Bible says, as the Lord ascending up to heaven, he commanded the church, he commanded his disciple to start in Jerusalem, amen, in Judea and to Samaria, amen. And we see Philip there preaching and performing miracle, and people is getting saved, amen. And the Bible says there that they were joyful. Weren't they? Well, you're joyful tonight. That's really exciting. Amen? When God calls revival, there's always joy. I remember getting saved at Heartland Baptist Bible College in my dirty, dirty room. In the closet. Brother David's always in a really nice dorm. Amen. I was in a brown dorm. Smelly good stuff there. I got saved at 4 o'clock in the morning in my closet. Knelt down there and asked the Lord to forgive me. And I received him as my personal Lord and Savior. And I tell you what, I got excited. I don't remember what happened, but I was so joyful that day. Actually, I was at the library, Brother David. I was talking to Mrs. Poltra. This is not Poltra anymore. She's married to that guy, Lund, right? That weird guy, the tall guy. Yeah, that guy. I was at the library, and I couldn't help myself to share what happened to me that day. And I said, I don't know your name, red hair person. I said, I got saved today. And I was really loud, and Sarah was there. She's so strict. So strict librarian. And then said, shh. I said, I was just excited sharing what happened to me. But you need shh. She's quenching the Holy Spirit of God. But I tell you what, when the people believed in Nineveh, it did something to them, didn't it? Not only to the people, but to the leader of the place. The Bible says the king of Nineveh, he said he arose and from his throne, he said, I'm going to humble myself. Because I believe the God of that man right there is going to do something in our place. When you say the word overthrown, it's a big deal to them, actually. When you overthrow a nation, you might do something about it. Because probably it's going to be zero population in the area when it comes. You're going to get killed or whatever. Will you be overthrown? The king won't be the king there anymore. It will be replaced by another king, so on and so forth. But I imagine how when the day started to go by, you know, they start with day one, and then could you imagine day 39? They're like, is God going to judge us? And then when day 40 came, the Bible says in verse number 10, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, and he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I am so thankful for a merciful God, aren't you? Mercy is something that we receive that we don't deserve. Oh, we that's grace, by the way. Mercy is something that we didn't get, though we deserve it. Amen? We deserve hell, but we didn't get it because Jesus did something to that. Amen? And I thank the Lord that the mercy of God is not limited to the people of Israel. Amen? It's unlimited to the world. And I thank the Lord that he's reaching out to these countries, to the United States, amen, And United is reaching out around the world because God's mercy and His grace is so unlimited. But let me tell you this. Christian is still running away from God today. Don't they? By the way, somebody said, the most miserable people in the world is not the believer. Not the unbeliever, but the believers that are running away from God. Those that been here before. Actually, when I got back here, I said, where are the people that used to be here? Oh, they're not here before. What are they doing? They're running away from God. And it's really, really sad. Let me say, tell you this. Sometimes in our lives, we may admit it or not, but sometimes we also have run away from God before. Not just like Jonah, or maybe something that God had asked you to do and you didn't do it. God asked you to do something and you ran away. You know, this week, God has asked or told us something yesterday. And you were just right there. It's like, I'm not going to do that. You're just simply running away from the presence of God. And this week, we're going to be, see this? Don't run away from this. Amen? Don't run away from what God has spoke to you. Amen? Because whatever God has told you, then you must do. Let me tell you this. It's going to cause revival. It's going to change somebody's lives. Amen? It's going to add to your account. Amen? And I tell you what. There will be a day that will come that when we go up there, all the things that we have done here will be amazing. And I thank the Lord for those people that did not run away. Amen. I thank the Lord for the people that answered the call of God. I thank the Lord for Brother Shaib. That young man is so brave and so amazing that he's going to a place where they bury preacher alive. They do. New England does. But he's going to go there. He's not going to say, Lord, I don't want to go there. In fact, when before God called me, and my wife knew that because she's a prophet. Have you heard that? She prophesied about my calling list. She said, I know Lem's going to be called to the ministry in the Philippines. And actually, God was speaking to me about the Philippines, and I was running away from God. Because when I went surrender to be a missionary at Heartland, I told the Lord this. I don't know if I told Brother David. I said, Lord, if you're going to call me to be a missionary, please don't send me to the Philippines. I said that. And that one Sunday, Sister Terfina, we had a visitor, Brother Travis Lewis. Do you remember him? You supported him for a while. He's now pastoring in Angola, New York today. And he came to visit. And Pastor Z said, oh, well, Brother Lev, you're going to have your class here today in Sunday school because we're going to have Travis Lewis. And I said, where is Travis Lewis from? The Philippines. I said, okay. So I had my student at the front, but I went all the way back there where Brother David was sitting. I said, please don't send me to the Philippines. But I tell you what, when the DVD presentation started to play, and that's when God started to work in my heart. And he says, son, I want you to go back to the Philippines. And I tell you what, ever since that day, I surrendered my life. I never regret it. If God is calling you today to do something for God, a mission or whatever, please don't run away. Please do what God wants you to do. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a bus worker. It could be a janitor or whatever. Just don't run away. Do what God wants you to do. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you never cease to love us, to remind us, dear Lord, about your great work will work till Jesus comes. And I thank the Lord for choosing this church to work until you come. I pray, Lord, that you bless now the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor.